are now listening to Podcasting in Pinstripes, the official New York Yankee podcast of Gotham Sports Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Podcasting in Pinstripes, the official New York Yankees podcast on the Gotham Sports Network. As always, you got Steve here with Slammin' Sammy over there, buddy. How are you feeling with the first place Yankees?
I'm feeling great, Steve, especially because we are coming on this episode having not gotten swept by the Toronto Blue Jays. It was 4-2 entering the ninth inning. And I am in the insurance world, and salvage is a thing I deal with on some of my claims. I know I'm going down a rabbit hole.
You tie it in right nicely. Now. Go for it.
And I'm just looking at the TV as I'm working, and I'm just saying out loud going into the ninth inning, salvage, salvage, salvage. And that's what the Yankees did.
Exactly.
Salvage the series. Shout out Giancarlo Stanton, homer to start things off. You know, Doogie with the double and then Judge coming in clutch. This is our first episode in the season, but, you know, didn't want to lose the series. But coming on here after not getting swept is a major lift. And they have the most wins in baseball with 13 coming home. So
yes.
Lots to be happy about, Steve.
It is. It would have been a little disappointing if we came on here for the first in-season episode of the 2024 season and we lost four in a row. It would have been a different tone. So as you said, salvage is a great word for that. As Yankees on Wednesday afternoon take a 6-4 victory versus the Blue Jays after being down 4-1 in the eighth. And yeah, I think we kind of got to look at this episode as the whole, you know, first 3 weeks of baseball here. And it is, you can't be disappointed. I know we are little with that three loss streak there, and you know the win today really changed it here. But looking at this back as a whole, going back to early in the season here, you got to be ecstatic here. This has got to be exactly what we wanted coming into this year without Garrett Cole. Will the pitching hold up? How will Soto fit in? Will everybody kind of get there? Will the offense score the runs? And they came out guns blazing versus the Astros, Diamondbacks, Blue Jays, and Marlins. It was awesome. It was great to see things clicking, and every team is going to have their ups and downs. So their first downs have happened this week. So we can talk about the ups and we can talk about the downs. That's what we do on podcasts and in Pinstripes. The only place we need to start, Sam, is with the one and only Juan Soto. Because I was thinking about this watching his at-bats today, and he was unbelievable. He thought he had two home runs today, but he just had one only. but he had three hits overall. And his numbers are as advertised. And Sam, I want to kind of put this in your mind a little bit. We've watched basically almost every Aaron Judge at bat his entire career for the most part.
It's crazy because when we started this, I know he was a rookie in 2016, but I mean, we have followed basically Aaron Judge's entire career.
I think between the two of us, we've probably seen 90% of his major league at bats. And I love watching Aaron Judge play. I love watching him hit. And I'm sorry to Aaron Judge. There is something different about a Juan Soto at-bat. Maybe it's the new boyfriend, the new girlfriend allure of honeymoon stage. But holy cow. It's must-watch appointment TV. I felt like with Judge, and he obviously went through these a lot in his career, and he's going through a little downturn right now. There's plenty of at-bats where Judge comes up, and the first swing he takes, you're like, ah, he's not getting hit. We know it. He's probably going to strike out. It's fine. Soto, his ability pitch to pitch to just lock in, and if he does kind of get thrown off by a pitch, to not have it affect his at bat, I am genuinely stunned when he gets out. He like grounded out to second one earlier this series in Toronto, and I was like, that had to be the greatest pitch of all time because Juan Soto just hit the ball like 10 feet, and that just doesn't seem like that's possible. His at bats are unbelievable. It's something I've never seen. It's literally incredible to watch him play. And it's just the results obviously speak for themselves. But first, 19 games in here? Blown away. Absolutely blown away. And I knew he was coming in as one of the best players in baseball, maybe to ever play baseball. And he still blew me away.
I can't believe he plays for the Yankees still. That is still setting in. You look at him and it's so hard to believe he's on his third team and he's not even 26 years old. Coming up with the Nationals in 2018, I was still in college, which is crazy to me. And he's hitting bombs in the World Series when he's 20 years old.
Off Garrett Cole.
The Nationals obviously go into a rebuild, and he goes up to San Diego, and they definitely hit a numbers crunch on the payroll. They know they weren't going to resign him after this season, so they trade him to the Yankees for some pitching. And this guy, I don't want to use the word generational,
Oh, use it. Spell it out. Type it. You have to.
Because I got sick of it with all like the Giants fans calling Saquon Barkley generational for all those years. So I'm very careful at how I use the word generational. I have never seen a player like Juan Soto in my 20 years that I can recall baseball. That I can recall MLB action.
Yeah.
Have not seen a player like him.
All right, Mike Trout comes to the name early, but, you know, he's stuck with the Angels, so you never see him play. You never even know he exists. This guy's got the attitude, the swag that goes with the play that is just unbelievable. This guy is the face of baseball. This guy is what Major League Baseball has... I've tried to position themselves around. Obviously, Aaron Judge is, say also the Shohei Ohtani face of baseball. The three of them, like, if you can't be successful with those three guys as a league... You got no chance in succeeding. It's just incredible. Like I said, the numbers are, and I think he can get even better. Like they're amazing. He's 4 home runs, 17 RBIs, batting .352, on base percentage of .478, OPS over 1,000. It's remarkable what he does. And I thought his eye. You know, we talked about his walks on the preview episode, how amazing his eye is. It is. This guy might have the best eyes in the entire world. Forget baseball. Like, this guy should be studied to have the best eyes in the world. David Cohn had a great thing a couple weeks ago that, like, if you're an umpire and you call a strike and Juan Soto stares at you, you have to be like, oh, I got that call wrong. Like, if Soto doesn't think it's a strike, it's not a strike. We don't need automated strike zones. We need, like, Juan Soto strike zone. Juan Soto will be the greatest ump in the history of baseball because it's insane how good his eyes are. And it's incredible how, from pitch to pitch, he's able to do it. And just great at... Wednesday was just fantastic at bats all around versus Kevin Gausman. And then the home run in the eighth to kind of kick the rally. It's just incredible to watch. And there's, you know, not enough that we could talk about him for the next 4 hours.
And how he's adjusted to right field has been so good.
Yeah, it's been fine.
The play to throw out the runner to preserve the opening day win against the Astros. The Yankees outfield defense as a whole, finally having legitimate outfielders out there has been,
it's amazing.
One of the best things for me this season so far. The only thing about Soto is every game I watch, every time he comes up to the plate, I just say to myself, this guy better be a Yankee until
I'm dead.
It's...
Give him the John Sterling contract. Shout out John Sterling. But if Juan Soto wants to play until he's 86 years old, I'm allowing it. Like,
I'm not going to argue against it. I mean, it is so rare that you get your hands on a player like this. Like I said before, he's not even 26 years old until around the time the World Series starts. He's been this good for this long, and he's really just entering the prime of his career. There's not enough things to say about him, and he is tailor-made to be a New York Yankee, especially with that short porch in right field. This, we have said for so long, the Yankees have really abandoned the left-handed hitter. I know they acquired Stanton back in 2018. Obviously, they have Judge, but they have not had a left-handed threat in this lineup consistently since probably Mark Teixeira in the early, 09 and the early 2010s. And
can you imagine summertime baseball? Yeah, oh, good old Robbie. Glove Robbie, you're right. Can't leave him out. But summertime baseball, August, Juan Soto at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. He's going to hit the ball to the 7 train. He's going to... all the way to Queens. He's going to hit the ball all the way to Shea.
That can't be dismissed either. What's going to change? Obviously, thank God the Yankees have not had the Yankees did have one postponement, and they swept the doubleheader at Cleveland. But the Yankees have no April makeup games yet, which is good. Obviously, you look around baseball, a lot of the weather is still dicey in a lot of the parts of the country right now. So, but once it warms up, that ball is going to be flying. You're right, Steve.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing here all summer long. I can't wait. This is a new team. There are many reasons I don't even recognize this team.
Oh,
from last year.
No chance.
Unrecognizable.
Not at all. Yeah. Wrap it up on Soto. 19 games. There's been 3 games he hasn't gotten a base hit or a walk. This guy is on base every game. That's the greatest thing you could ever ask for your 2-hitter. And these aren't slap singles. He's roping the ball for home runs and doubles. It's amazing to see. As a 2-hitter, he's absolutely crushing it. We got to talk about our surprise leadoff hitter, the Italian Stallion, Anthony Volpe. There were lots and lots of rumors coming from the Yankees organization, coming from some scouts around baseball that says, this looks like the guy we saw in the minors. This doesn't look like the guy that we saw at the plate his rookie year. And he has come out on fire to prove all those reports right. I honestly was like, it's going to take maybe a full year for this to happen. It's not going to be an overnight thing. We saw him struggle severely at the plate, but man, that is awesome to see Volpe just crushing it from the 6-7 hole early in the year and quickly got put up to the leadoff spot. And it sounds like they have no intention of moving him anytime soon here. Batting 324, 410 on base percentage, 6 stolen base, had 2 dingers, which we know we don't need the power from the leadoff guy here. But Volpe looks like a changed man. And look, he stole the starting position last year. He wasn't supposed to be our starting shortstop last year. He had a rough season at the plate, but he won a gold glove. And now, if you want to think about it, think about this as the true rookie year of what we could see for the next 15 years for Anthony Volpe here. But our shortstop looks good, buddy. He looks good, and I like him at the one hole. Volpe, Soto, Judge. You're not going to find a better 1-2-3 from that right now to start the year.
The opposite field power, too, is something that's really standing out to me from him. And he took the leadoff spot, too, from Torres, and he is not going to relinquish that. There is just something about him from the leadoff spot. And you mentioned Jeter before the episode. It's starting to remind me of Jeter at the top. I mean, you're not getting a 30, 40 home run guy, but you're getting someone whose contact and provides a lot of speed and a good eye. He's got 14 strikeouts to 10 walks which is a very good ratio.
Last year, same at-bats, he'd have 2 walks, 25 strikeouts. His eye, he's learned. We're going to talk about him next, but Oswaldo Cabrera mentioned early on in the year, this entire team just watches and studies Juan Soto and how patient he is at the plate. Volpe's one guy who's said it himself too. You just got to watch what Soto does and just try to copy it, and you're seeing it right away. The patience at the plate, wait for your pitch. As you said, smoke it to the opposite field. Him getting on base to start every game for Volpe, and the legs are there if we need it. He kind of picked it up the past, week and a half with some of the stolen bases here, but this is what was advertised. He's as young as can be here at 22 years old and really just putting the ball in play and just a different player from last year. And he had a decent rookie year. That's fine. This is a guy that's an all-star. This is someone that's going to be at an all-star game every day, every year, if he can play like this for continued presence.
I always used to mention the Yankees' lack of homegrown starting pitching and how they struggled in the draft to find that. Really, that extended to the lineup. And with Aaron Judge 2013 and now Anthony Volpe in 20, he was the first round pick in 2019. Maybe this is a sign of good things to come, because aside from international free agents and trades and free agents, the Yankees system of drafting has not been great, but hopefully Volpe is the outlier. And he certainly looks it through his second season, especially when he struggled last season. A lot of people were clamoring, are they going to send him down? Should it be Peraza at shortstop? It was huge for the development of him to be up all of last year, especially since after it was July, it was really apparent that Yankee season was not going anywhere. And for him to get a full season's worth of games played, just much better than having him half the season in AAA, even if they started him there. So while last year was not pretty, it definitely helped him in a big way. And I'm not surprised at all. I expected a sizable step from him in 2024, and that's what we're getting. He's already gotten himself up to the leadoff spot. He's being aggressive on the base paths. He has 3 more steals than the next guy on the team, which is Torres with 3. Love what I'm seeing, and like you said, he's young as can be. He is a young star in the making for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, and it's you when we're this early in the year, the stats sometimes can be deceiving. Is it a hot 1 week that kind of skews everything here? But the underlying stats on Volpe all point to this being something that is sustainable. His whiff rate is cut more than in half. His chase rate's down roughly 10%. His walk rate is almost doubled, and his strike rate which was at, you know, 28, is now under 20. Like, those are all, those aren't luck plays. And I think he got a couple, he had a couple very unlucky stretches last year. And that's, you know, Boone talked about all the time. He's like, ah, he's right there. He's just getting unlucky. You know, he's just getting unlucky. These stats show the difference. He's not getting lucky to start 2024. He's just a better player. And that's awesome because luck will happen. Luck will change. And this is a guy that, you know, look, he batted 208 last year. I think we both agreed that we'd be happy if he batted 240 this year. How does that change now? What's the minimum we want here? You know, if he's under 280, we're going to be disappointed here because he's what is he at now? He's got to be, you know, 330 still. So it's great to see second behind Soto in hits, and as you said, first in steals, and a great play to end the game on Wednesday to seal the victory. So the defense, you know, it's a gold glove there. I think we can mention the Yankee defense a little bit on the second half of this episode being subpar, but Volpe has the plays there and has the caliber to be an all around player at the field, at the plate, and leading off for the Yankees. It's freaking awesome to see. Sam, I think you can shout it out here, but give me the biggest surprise bat and why we're so excited about who it is this year so far to start the year.
In terms of surprises, it's got to be Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay, that is a surprise. I was going Oswaldo Cabrera.
I was going to go either one. I wasn't sure who you were referencing, honestly, but we could
give Big G his flowers because he had a huge home run today that sparked it. Because look, he's someone that you want to talk about. You know, luck. Thank on for Stanton's perspective. Thank God we didn't have an episode 2 weeks ago. We would have spent 30 minutes bashing him. So he's turned that around. So go give G some flowers.
Yeah, I mean, he's hitting above 250, which I mean, I don't know if that's going to...
That is a big surprise, so yes.
If he, what we said it before the season, if he's 230 and 35 homers, and he can move around on the base paths, it would be a huge win. He's looking a little bit more mobile, which is great. I mean, skinnier. It's all coming together for him, I think. He definitely changed a lot of things this offseason, and he's been a fixture in that five-hole. For him to have a bounce-back season, to have, you know, him behind Judge and Soto and Rizzo, that would be more than you can.
He leads the team in home runs. Like, Giancarlo Stanton is a home run or a strikeout person. He leads the team in home runs. That's all we need. If he can actually stay healthy and hit 30 home runs, I'm on board for it. Like, I mean, he started with, I don't even want to look up the stats, but he started what, striking out 13 of his first 30 at bats.
Yeah. It was like something right around that.
It was bad. And it was like, oh boy, this guy needs to be DFA'd. That was the early talk of Twitter for the Yankees, even though they were like 7-1. But then he turns around and, you know, that's what he is. He's a streaky, streaky, streaky hitter. He's going to have a week where he doesn't touch the baseball. And then he's going to have a week where he completely smashes it. You know, some opposite field hits. I mean, when he makes contact, the ball turns into a freaking meteor. It's insane. My biggest question is to all of the rest of MLB. Why are you throwing this guy anything but a fastball? He's turned on some fastballs this year, and that's been awesome to see. He's got real nervous. But if you throw this guy an off-speed pitch and you leave it over the plate, the ball is going to Canada. How are you throwing Stanton a curveball would be the last thing in my mind.
I mean, his home run today almost went to Alaska from Canada. I mean,
it was insane.
I have the official number. It was home opening day. I texted a couple of my buddies. It was 13 Ks in his first 22 at-bats.
I got the 13 right. Boy, Jesus.
So since then, he has 37 at-bats. And he has 7 strikeouts. So that's
live with that.
One strikeout every 5-plus at-bats. That is more than...
Live with that.
I mean, I would be thrilled with one strikeout every 4 at-bats.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and hitting the fastballs is huge. I don't think he touched the fastball last year. So hitting some fastballs has been awesome. So it's good to see that the confidence is there. And yeah. Like, 5 home runs. Leads the team. That's can't be happier with that. Let's touch on Ozzie. Because... he was both of our maybe surprise impact players going into last year, and he really, really struggled and had a terrible year. And then he gets the opportunity here with DJ LeMahieu starting on the IL. The Yankees clearly didn't really have much faith in him as they traded for John Birdie like the day after opening day. And he's on the IL now, But Cabrera has forced himself to be in this lineup 15 of the 19 games. And you can say he probably deserves to be in all 19 of them the way he's hitting, batting over 300, three home runs, 11 strikeouts. So his strikeout numbers are down from last year and to early to start the year. And he's doing some weird shit. He's going lefty-lefty versus some players. He's going righty-righty. He's become a new traditional switch hitter where he's going to look at the numbers and decide which way to hit versus blindly going lefty-righty, righty-lefty. His confidence is completely different from last year, and it's fun to see. And DJ LeMahieu is going to be back probably in the next 10 days. It's going to be interesting what the Yankees are doing here because Cabrera has earned himself some serious at-bats.
Yeah, they can send down probably Jamai Jones if he has some options left.
Oh, he's staying up on the roster. I just want him in the lineup.
Yeah, it's gonna, and like you said, he's that kind of new switch hitter. Definitely the biggest surprise for me, because if LeMahieu is healthy, I half wonder if he makes the team out of camp, especially with the.
Yeah.
With the season he had last year.
And he struggled really, really bad in the start of spring training. He got hot the final week, but like at that point I felt like the roster may have been kind of set already, so I don't think it would have been interesting. It would have been a really, really close call. I think you're right on that.
And he's had some huge hits to help win the Yankees games.
Oh, massive. He's won probably three games himself. It's been incredible. I mean, when the Yankees were on Apple TV that one game and they're putting up the dynamic duo of Juan Soto and Oswaldo Cabrera, you know you're doing something well to start the year. Like they had the graphic already for Judge and Soto, and they had to swap out Oswaldo Cabrera for him because Cabrera was on fire. I think he was batting like 420, and he had more home runs than Soto. It was crazy. So he's going to cool down, but until that, just the versatility he offers all around is going to be. That super utility that the Yankees have been hoping for, it's great to see, and I hope the confidence stays, even if the playing time starts to decline.
I do too, and he's kind of like that Swiss Army knife. He can play all over the field. I do think he's going to be that super utility guy, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news here, but there's likely going to be injuries this season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's going to have him get time, so... Exactly. He's going to be up here and playing.
I mean, that's what we traded for John Birdie, and he's already on the IL there. We'll see how long he is because he was another super utility guy from that I thought could be a good factor for the Yankees here. And then with DJ coming back, you know, you assume they're going to slowly get DJ back in there. But then maybe do they go? Yeah, you know, I don't know. If you're Boone, do you give DJ the third base job like automatically full time, or are you doing hey DJ, you're playing third today, you're playing first tomorrow. Versus a lefty, we're going to sit Rizzo, who's struggled a little bit, especially in the field. I mean, let's talk about Rizzo just not being able to field ground balls. And then Gleyber Torres is also struggling mightily at the plate here. Do you just start working in a little rotation between those four guys and let DJ kind of move around the field or let Cabrera move around the field and give some people some rest? I love that we're getting the same lineup basically like every night besides, you know, swapping the catchers. But Rizzo's played every game so far. I don't need Rizzo playing every game at this age and not really doing too much, to be honest, offensively so far. So maybe DJ gets two starts at first until Cabrera, you know, cools down.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. I think there's, like you said, a few guys, Cabrera, Birdie, and now LeMahieu on the brink of coming back that can play multiple positions. And you took the words out of my mouth. Like, what? Rizzo at the plate is whatever. I get it takes some guys some time to ramp up. What is going on in the field?
It's at least once a game. Once a game.
That definitely could be a big reason, too. And it is so out of character for me. I mean, Anthony Rizzo is a Gold Glove first baseman. When the Yankees traded for him in 2021, his defense was one of the biggest reasons because Luke Voit could not field.
He's been one of the best first basemen in for 15 years in baseball defensively.
And I have no clue what's going on with him there.
It's been ugly. It hasn't even been tough ones. It's been, you know, today on Wednesday it was a kind of misjudged a weird short hop and that led to, you know, but it's cost the Yankees. I mean, they only have six losses, but the defense has cost us what, two games? Gleyber's had his mental mistakes that he has his entire career, and that's obviously got people fired up. And maybe that's affecting him. Maybe his at-bats at the plate are affecting him in the field with Glaber because, you know, all the good that we've talked about for the first half hour here, Glaber looks lost at the plate. Boone says he's not worried. And then the next at-bat he had, like right after he said he wasn't worried, he looked like he had a freaking wiffle ball bat in his hand and wasn't going to touch the ball. So it'll be interesting to, you know, then he loses his leadoff spot early on the year. But, you know, Glaber from last year batting in that, you know, 6-7 hole would just eat RBIs, you know, every day. And it was great. And he would do amazing with this lineup if that's the Glaber we can have. But something looks off. Something looks off. He's still taking his walks. So he's still getting on base almost 320%. So that's great to see. But Glaber needs to turn it around. And you can kind of tie in any comments here about Judge needing to turn it around here, even though he got the big hit today. But, you know, if we're going to wrap up the lineup here, Glaber and Judge struggles are the only real concern that I have so far on what has been a pretty successful start to the season for the Yankees.
He is just wildly inconsistent at points. I know he was.
Which he wasn't last year. Last year, that was like the whole thing of how consistent he was and how his two-strike approach was amazing. It looks like that player is gone.
It was crazy because in 2022, if you took out the month of August, I saw in 2022, he was top three in nearly every category for second baseman in offense. And I don't want to revert back to that. And this is a big year for him. It's a contract year. It's
the biggest year of his career.
If I had my guess, he's not going to be here next year.
No.
That's aside from the poor performance.
So if he had a great year, he still wouldn't be coming back, I don't think. Like this, and look, this is a guy that's publicly came out and said, like, trade talks mess with him. This is a huge mental load for Gleyber Torres this entire season. He looks like he's put on a nice smile. He looks like he's getting along awesome with Soto. He's publicly, like, begging to be re-signed. Like, please, I never want to leave New York. But he's someone that's shown that these type of things, like trade rumors and impending free agency, can mess with him at the plate. So I hope he gets it right.
I do as well. It's just he was the big thing when he came in the trade for Chapman almost 8 years ago. It's so
crazy how long ago
that
is.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And, you know, there's been a lot of good moments. There's no doubt about that. But I'm not going to overreact to anything. He had the best season of his career since 2019 last year. And like you said about Judge, off to a slow start, big hit against the Jays in the season series finale.
And Glaber had a hit in the ninth too, so I'll give him credit there. Glaber had a big single there after the Stanton home run.
And there's just got to be – I always say in April, just, you know, get out 500, see where your team's out. Memorial Day is really when – that's really the first benchmark of the season. I think more often than not, then you get through June, it's kind of you are what you are at that point. We'll see how it plays out, though. I'm not, you know, there's been some struggles. I'm not overreacting. I am not a big overreactor to April baseball, unless you're, you know, you start the year like the Marlins, you're 4-15, and like
the White Sox are a Triple A team.
Like, yeah, unless shit is like really, really off the rails. In April, I'm not overreacting, and we're far from that. The Yankees have their MVP outfielder struggling, and a key cog in the lineup also struggling. They're 13-6. They're missing their ace, Cy Young Award winner from last year, and Gerrit Cole.
So it should be all positive, but you know we can't all be 100% positive podcast, Sam. We can't.
You know, 13-6.
13-6. Glaber's going to figure it out. Judge is going to figure it out, and this team is going to get Gerrit Cole back eventually. It's great to see. We mentioned Cole, so let's talk a little pitching here. Little up and down of it all. Nestor, I think we start with the names maybe from last year of Cortez and Rodon. I think Rodon looks better than last year, but it's also impossible for him to look worse. So I think that's a good sign that he's kind of slowly maybe figuring it out. Walks are a little high. Cortez is more of the concern for me here. He doesn't look great. He's given up, you know, the most runs on the team. He's got the highest ERA. Kind of doesn't seem like this is what we need here for Nestor. And it's going to be pretty interesting if he doesn't turn this around. by the time maybe Garrett Cole comes back here, because we're now looking at, you know, a season plus of what I would say is underperforming for Nasty Nestor.
And, you know, maybe it was just lightning in a bottle in 2022. I know they had issues with him, you know, pitching deep in the games, and that's really prevailed, except against the Marlins.
That doesn't count. You just mentioned how bad they were.
I mean, they're terrible. I know we went 8 shutout innings, but, you know, getting roughed up against the Guardians, just not looking right to start the season. And I don't want to bash him and say he's, you know, not what he was built up to be. I personally think he is a back end of the rotation arm, a 4-5.
Yeah, he's pitched as the past 2 years. You know, that like you said, that lightning in a bottle of you know, that all-star season. I would love to see that guy come back. Would love to. But it just doesn't seem like that's the case. You know, the Yankees have, you know, they bailed him out of opening day to get that win there because he gave up 4 runs really early in the first 2 innings of the game. And then, you know, versus Arizona, that was I think our first loss of the year. He got tossed around there. Then the same for the Cleveland. You know, he only went 4 innings and people were yelling to pull him. But it's too early in the year to pull Nestor after 3 innings. So you got to try and let him ride it out and see what happens, just so you know what you have when the crunch time comes. It's only 22 innings, but not the 22 innings I was hoping to see from our opening day starter in Nestor Cortez. So it's he's a battler, always has been his whole career. He's going to work to try and figure it out, but we'll kind of see what goes here. But I think that's, you know, my biggest concern in the rotation at the moment.
I think it has to be. Everyone else is kind of doing their job and moving along. Carlos Rodon has too many walks and is clearly, I don't think, the number 2 guy they thought they were signing, and that was evidence of them being connected to Yamamoto and Blake Snell this offseason. Marcus Stroman
he's been awesome. He's been a plus. I mean,
been a great plus, great middle of the rotate, perfect number 3 starter in my eyes. Clark Schmidt, yeah. Again, the rotation's doing their job. They're without the race. None of them, aside from Cortez, are really getting lit up.
Luis Gil is going to strike out every single player in the human history if he can find the strikeout. If you can find the strike zone. He's freaking electric. But he also has 20 strikeouts and 14 walks.
I think 14 walks and 14 innings.
I think he was last start. I think he walked 8, struck out 8. It was like they didn't swing the bat and he gave up 3 runs. But if the guy, that's always been his thing. That's when the Yankees traded for him for Jake Cave, you know, all those years back. It was electric arm, needs to find the zone. I mean, that arm is electric. It's fun to watch when he can find the strike zone. So, you know, ride him out here and see. But yeah, that's kind of been the Yankees are the Yankees. You said Clark Schmidt's Clark Schmidt. This is a homegrown guy. I know you like those. Former first round pick. But like you said, back end rotation here, just doing his job. You go out there and you know what we're going to get from Clark every 5th day. So that's fine. And we see what it is. In the bullpen, injury bug hit us early. It stinks. We may have seen the end of Jonathan Loaisiga in pinstripes.
That's free my agent. Exact thought as well.
Free agent, end of the year. Doesn't need Tommy John, but he has UCL or elbow something. He's out for the year. 29 years old. Similar to, Heel when the Yankees kind of got him. It was like, dude, absolute flamethrower. Got to find the strike zone and got to stay healthy. And he's never stayed healthy for the Yankees. He is topped out at 70 innings in 2021. Went healthy, an electric, awesome setup man. And potential closer for many teams. Stinks for his career that he's going to go into free agency coming off a very serious injury. So he's not going to get any type of real contract here. So maybe the Yankees rarely do it, but you know they offer a 2-year deal while you recover and whatnot. But disappointing to see here because the Yankees were going to use him heavily all year long.
It's upsetting because 2021, just one of the he became one of the most electric arms in baseball. And you know, he really couldn't find it in 2022, and you know, the last couple of years with injuries, it's hard to see this amounting to anything. But he came to the Yankees from the Giants with some issues.
Huge arm issues. That's why the Giants DFA'd him. I'm pretty sure that's how the Yankees got him. So it was, and that was when he was 23 years old. So it's, released by the Giants in 2015 after only 3 years in the system here because of all the injuries. And the Yankees have had, you know, they made it work and they got what they could out of him. But this is someone that has a huge issue with his elbow. And, you know, I hope he has a major league career after this. But I don't think it's going to be in New York.
I don't think so either. And it's unfortunate because really a few years ago, he was one of the best bullpen arms in the game.
Closer stuff. And, has closer stuff.
You know, I mean, every time he came into the game, it was, you know, it was going to be an uphill battle for the other team to get much.
Lasagna cheese.
If anything going. So Johnny Lasagna, get well soon.
Yeah, it seems like sucks. We might get some Tommy Kaelin is doing some bullpen sessions. He might be coming back. You know, the Yankees will need some arms. They're the rest of the way. You know, Ian Hamilton's a beast. You know, that's the Yankees continue to find these guys. It's freaking incredible what he can do out there.
Everyone mentions the Astros and starting pitchers. I mean, and says there's something fishy going on. You got to call balls and strikes. The Yankees and relief pitchers are the same exact way.
The Yankees with DFA'd relief pitchers or unwanted relief pitchers is wild. Anybody in baseball could have had Ian Hamilton. Anybody in baseball could have had Jonathan Loaisiga 6 years ago. If anybody wanted Clay Holmes, all you had to do was trade a double-A player that was never going to make the major leagues. All these guys. The Yankees, you know, they... You know, Nick Birdie. Nick Birdie's been out of baseball for 2 years before the Yankees found him this offseason, and now he's been in seven games already for the Yankees. It's just ridiculous how they just every year you're gonna find someone that was out of baseball that is now gonna pitch 60 games for the Yankees. Ian Hamilton, I mean, he's our new Mike King. Multiple innings. He's under contract till 2029. Like the Yankees are going to utilize this guy for all he has, and if he smiles once between now and 2029, that'd be the biggest miracle in the world. I don't want to fuck with that dude.
I know. It's the bullpen is a whole. I remember there was a bullpen rankings from MLB.com.
Yeah.
The Yankees weren't even
in the top ten.
Yeah. The Yankees have had a top 10 bullpen since, I don't know, for
since you were born.
The last decade.
Yeah.
it has never been an issue, basically, as long as this podcast. I know Chapman and some Holmes issues in the ninth, but they keep finding these guys. Tommy Kaelin, Scott Efros, maybe later in the season.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
And I feel like he's getting overlooked a lot. The Yankees traded their number 7 prospect at the time, Hayden Wierenski, for him. And
yeah, he actually pitched today for the Cubs. I think he made his major league debut or season debut.
He had to, you know, the Yankee, he had 4 more years of control.
Yep.
Which was
down to 2 now.
And it's, you know, with the surgery, I'm really hoping the Yankees get him back because he was a huge part of the bullpen that year that he came over in the trade deadline. So
yeah, the bullpen they just find their ways and then they figure it out. And then you find your everyday Wandy Peralta and, you know, you go from there. You know, Caleb Ferguson comes over from the Dodgers. He gave up a big home run the other day and hasn't looked as sharp. But, you know, you got to find a good lefty that you trust. We got freaking Kirk Cousins' actual cousin on our roster and Jake Cousins. That I thought was literally a joke until they're like, no, this is literally Kirk Cousins' cousin. So it's great. And then you finish it off with Clay Holmes. I understand every time Clay Holmes' Twitter just goes nuts of like, oh, he's going to blow this game. He's going to blow this game. He's going to do like, dude, Clay Holmes is nails. Okay, sure, sometimes he'll make us sweat. Absolutely. But if you really want to look at it, this guy has better numbers than Josh Hader since he got traded to the Yankees. He's been an elite reliever since coming over from the Yankees. He is 100% the Yankees closer this year. I have full confidence in him. He's got seven saves already on the year. I think he's blown one save, but 9 innings and technically no ERA. What more do you want from your closer?
And the save that he blew, the ball did not leave the infield.
Right. That wasn't his fault at all. Yeah, exactly. I forgot that the case was all. Yeah, literally 4 ground balls, and it somehow he got like no outs.
And like you said, Twitter/X was throwing a show. I'm like, watch the game. Like, it's...
The guy, and he's got what, another year after this too. Like, what a steal. We've been. Thank you, Pirates. Like, they just give us a top end closer. And then we'll see what Kalen comes back. Hopefully, Efros comes back. But you know, the bullpen is, that's the key for a good major league bullpen, is being able to adapt to injuries and inconsistent. Because you really can't trust a reliever game to game or season to season. It's such a variable here. But the Yankees have figured it out, and it's huge for them to seal wins. It's huge for them to know that if Cortez has a rough game and gives up four runs in the first three innings, that if he gets through five innings and the Yankees are within four, we got Volpe, Soto, Judge coming up in the ninth. That could be six pitches and three runs. Base hit, walk, home run. That happened the other day. That was fucking sexy. Volpe single, Soto walk, first pitch, Judge hits 450. Like,
all the way up those bleachers in Cleveland.
How do you dream about that? That is, Aaron Boone has just got to be like watching that as he goes to bed every night.
Yeah, I mean, just an unbelievable top of the lineup. I mean, I said it before, this team is unrecognizable from a year ago in many facets. Another newcomer we haven't touched on, Alex Verdugo.
Oh, the big dog. Yeah, we got to the – let's go. The dogs are barking. You're right.
And I just – I said it earlier too. The Yankees having a legitimate outfield has been very, very refreshing. I mean, you mentioned on the first episode, you know, they had IKF in center field. Yeah. Franchi Cordero, Jake Bowers. Franchi Cordero is – in somewhere overseas playing.
He's not with the Savannah Bananas? Yeah.
The Yankees traded Jake Bowers to the Milwaukee Brewers. And, yeah, he is playing for the Brewers right now. But they had so many misfit toys in the outfield last year. And Verdugo's been good with the bat. A nice 7.62 OPS.
Good clutch at-bats, too.
Yeah, great. Big hit in the ninth today. Big
poised,
double.
Poised hitter. Poised, patient. Not doesn't need to do too much. If him and if Glaber could figure it out, the two of them just being like, hey, we're just going to hit the ball where you pitch it, the Yankees are going to be running around the bases nonstop.
Great defense in left field. That's been, I mean, he had a huge game-saving catch against the Astros. Yeah. It's been the Yankees having an outfield this year has been one of the best stories.
It sucks that the infield has kind of gone the opposite so far, but I think we could turn that around. In the outfield last year, there was no chance of it. The infield has the potential to turn it around, but it is great to see that the outfield doing well. And Verdugo's fit in perfectly into this clubhouse. You know, you wouldn't expect it, but really, really just kind of blends with it all. And that's great to see. Tough matchup coming up here. We got the Rays starting on Friday. So I think we wrap it up here, Sam, saying that we got to Rays at home on Friday, and it's going to – Saturday, they're going to do something for John Sterling here. Absolute end of an era. I know the younger kids here, you know, love making fun of some of his calls and stuff, but a legend, an absolute legend should be in the – if he's not already, should be in the Broadcast Hall of Fame, should have a plaque in Monument Park, to be honest. This guy did 1986 to 2019. He didn't miss a single Yankee game. He's done over 5,000 Yankee games. He missed his first Yankee game in 2019 because he promised his grandson or his granddaughter that he would go to their graduation and he would miss a game for their graduation. As someone that listened to him every day going to bed, the voice of the Yankees for our, you know, generation for the most part. You know, maybe the younger generations will say Michael Kay or something, but John Sterling has it all. But do you have, I'll put you on the spot here, do you have one of his favorite calls from the day, the home run calls, because they're just legendary. I can go first.
On the spot, I
always loved. I just had always had a kick of the Thriller from Godzilla for Hideki Matsui. It was just an absolute blast. An A bomb from A-Rod. He had it all. Don't you know Robbie Cano? The guy brought a little flair to a simple home run call, and the fact that Judge talked about it, he goes, anytime we made a trade for a player, the entire bus ride, we would just try and guess what John Sterling's home run call would be. This guy was built into the Yankees, you know, family and system. And good for him to just be like, hey, I'm done. I'm old. I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm sad. I'm very sad. Congratulations to him on his retirement and a great, great career. It's just driving up to Cape Cod with my mom and dad and sister and listening to John Sterling on the radio, whether it be Yankees Red Sox game, the rivalry between my mom and I, or just something, you know, it feels like a piece of me. And I know he's still here on Earth.
But no, I agree. I mean, it's when you're not going to hear it, like
gone.
Yeah, it is. I mean, legendary. I think someone petitioned it on Twitter, and it should happen. When the Yankees win a game at the stadium, they should blast his famous "The Yankees win" and then play Frank Sinatra. That iconic call. You know, he went through the tough times of the 80s when he first came over to the Yankees. I think he was doing the Braves for a little bit before he came over to the Yankees to get all those championships. And to hear him talk on The Fan after he announced it, he was like, look, I worked every day from March to October for 40 years because the Yankees just kept making the playoffs. He finally, like, they missed the playoffs last year, and he was like, oh, man, this is, like, kind of nice to hang out with my family a little bit. So good for him to take it all. I hope they do something really cool for him on Saturday. That you know, the Yankees have to win on Saturday here. So if you're making a bet this week, Yankees win Saturday in honor of John Sterling.
85 years old. Yeah. What a career.
Dude, I can barely stay. I'm 34 years old, and I'm falling asleep at sometimes at some of these games that go late. This guy's 85, calling the game, and then going home. Like, I'm surprised he's not falling asleep in the fifth inning. The fact that he's doing this at 85 was crazy.
It's so sad. I wish he could finish out the season, but I get what's going on. I know he has some health concerns, and God bless him. I love the guy. Somebody said it was James Cratch who said it on Twitter yesterday. John Sterling is one thing that makes the Yankees the Yankees, and
he never missed a game. He was on the radio for 30 years and never missed a game. It's insane. Sam, we get tired and push this podcast back. Like, let's just do it tomorrow. I'm tired. We do it once every 2 weeks. This fucker did it for 30 straight years every day.
Think about all through the summer, all the, like, Memorial Day, 4th of July.
He was good. And look, I think you could make fun of him now when he got older. Yeah, he missed some calls these past few years. But this guy was good. He knew baseball. You could tell he knew baseball the moment he opened his mouth. And it was cool. Like, you know, those prime dynasty years, John Sterling. Sam, I had a CD that I would listen to during the winter that was John Sterling's best calls. And it would just play like an inning at a time. It wasn't songs. It was just like Doc Gooden's final three outs of his perfect game. You know, final three outs of the 1996 World Series. I listened to John Sterling during the winter on a CD.
Wow. That's impressive. God love him. I can't wait to see what they do Saturday for him. And I know he's going to stop by the booth. I hope he calls.
Must listen to. I hope that I would love for Michael Kay and the team to just have them, like, request to put that on the TV broadcast as well. So, like, if you're watching TV, you can still listen to what he says when he goes to the radio booth. Because all-time legend to John Sterling there. Perfect way to end it up. Illustrious career. Yankees, like we said, most wins in baseball. They lost a few games this week. That's all right. First, you know, another real test comes with the Rays. Look, the AL East, only team in baseball with every team above 500. It's going to be a long season. It's going to be a battle. The Yankees have to keep winning. They have to keep collecting every win they can. They have to steal wins like they did on Wednesday versus the Blue Jays, especially versus division rivals. But, Sam, I'm pretty happy. This team's fun. This is different from the last few years.
No doubt. And especially the Yankees ended 2022, and obviously the 2023 season went really down the shitter. I'm very excited to see what happens. You know, got 3 versus the Rays, 4 versus Oakland, and then we're on the road at Milwaukee and 4 at Baltimore, which
Baltimore's fun.
In the early goings, this is another AL beast year. It's every team is over 500. It's the Yankees, 13-6, Orioles, 12-6, and then the other 3 are 10-9. It feels like
the bad teams are
Orioles,
good.
The Yankees and Orioles are going to be going at it for quite a bit.
Every game matters. I think that's the biggest thing we didn't really touch on here. We could talk about it more next week. The Yankees are playing a lot more this year, like every game matters. We haven't seen the punt lineup yet. We haven't seen Judge resting for no reason on a Sunday. Boone can deny it on Talking Yankees all he wants, that he hasn't changed his managerial style. It's evident every day when you go out there that, you know, Soto tweaked his leg, you know, in game 3. Immediately he goes, I'm playing tomorrow. What are you talking about? The Yankees are acting differently so far this year, and I hope it could keep it up.
I do too. Looking at the schedule here, Steve, what is the deal with the day game on Monday and then three against Oakland?
This Monday?
I wonder if any of our listeners know that. We could pose. Yeah, it's three against Tampa and then four against Oakland, but the Monday game is 105. I know. Monday is Earth Day, but I can't.
Just, yeah, usually the day games are Wednesdays or Thursdays, so yeah, Monday seems weird.
Yeah, a Monday day game. They are the only day game in all of baseball. It's old friend J.P. Sears against Carlos Rodon.
There you go. Bet the over. yeah, we'll find out. I mean, look, baseball should have one day game every day. I think that should be a fact. That'd be more fun for baseball. You have all these games every day. So we'll watch that Monday, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about it next week. But for now, Sam, always a pleasure. First place Yankees, Juan Soto still a Yankee. That's all I need.
You got that right, Steve. Great episode, and looking forward to talking soon.